passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Final hour has arrived. Been a busy one. We'll continue with the phone calls, and you can call us now at 855-242-7285. G in Atlanta is first up. Hey, G, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Got a question for you, a couple questions for you. Between Coach Mark Pope, I guess that's his name, and the new hire at Kentucky, and between Coach Calipari at Arkansas, which one do you think have a chance of going north to winning three national championships, and we'll put that number at three?
So you're saying which one could win three national championships where they currently are, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
That would be Mark Pope, because I think ultimately Cal just took this job to resurrect his name, and I think we'll see the same Calipari that we've always seen, where Kentucky, you can build a team there and you can win a championship.
And I was wondering with the when he was on the podium saying that he has no team, meaning that Arkansas, they have no one on the roster right now?
I think so. I mean, I think you've had a number of players that have left. You have a couple that are leaving. That won't stay like that for long.
Okay. Well, okay. Another question, Paul. Will you be in the state of Georgia tomorrow for the Masters, the City University of Georgia G-Day Spring Game?
Well, I appreciate it. Unfortunately, I will be watching, but I will definitely be paying attention to it.
Yes, sir. Well, you enjoy your weekend. You and the missus, and you have a great day.
Thank you very, very much, G. Nice of you to call. Let's continue with more calls. And Nick is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
Doing
first
great.
Time caller. Love the show.
Thank you very much.
I just wanted to talk about Mark Pope. I think it's a good hire. Kentucky had seven national championships before Coach Cal got there. And we were one of the winningest programs in the nation. And we had a ton of Final Fours and a ton of NCAA appearances. And I think we're going to keep doing it. I think Mark Pope's a great hire. I know Coach Cal did one thing. He's the only coach to ever make me not watch an entire year of Kentucky basketball. And that happened after we went 38-1. So, that's my thoughts on it. I think Mark Pope's a great hire.
Thank you for checking in with us. So you be well. You take care of yourself. Let's move along and talk to Scott, also in Kentucky.
Good evening, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Calling in about, I too think, like Nick, that Mark Pope is a good hire. I was a little discouraged when I went to bed on it last night. But I got up this morning and I got to thinking, you know what? While Cal was here, all the boosters detached from the basketball program. He went a stretch for the last probably 4 or 5 years after Dwayne Peavy, the assistant AD, left.
Right.
Of turmoil with the athletic department, and you yourself know Mitch Barnhart, know what kind of guy that is. And if you can't get along with Mitch Barnhart, you might want to look in the mirror. I wasn't going to call in or say nothing. I listen to the show every day. But after I heard that Tanner guy from Alabama call in, I thought, you know what? Nate Oates is not taking Alabama to a title yet to this day. And I never called in and called out Tanner and said, hey, what about ever since Kirby Smart left and went to Georgia, he's owned Bama? That's all I got to say, Paul. Go
Cats. Thank you very
much.
You got it. Great to hear from you. Be well. Take care of yourself. Let's talk next to Jack, who is in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
We are well. Thank you.
Hey, I just left Dreamland, so I can't talk a lot. My stomach kind of tight. That last caller, Kirby owned Alabama. Dude, stop. I mean, basketball. Come on, Rip, anyway. Paul, I'm having a great time up here where I'm at right now in T-Town. and I called about, man, Larry got to get over this right now. Larry is a great caller. Between him and Legend, it's like one and two. So, Larry, brother, let it go, man. Okay, you know Paul loves you, okay? And I love you, too. So, guess what? Just man up. I mean, you know, have a couple of Budweiser, and Monday, stop back calling again. Paul, you and Randy have a great weekend, buddy.
Thank you.
And Roll Tide.
Good to hear from you, and be careful with that Dreamland. I-Man is up next.
Well, you know, Paul, I mean, what do you think about Mamba? You think they got a chance this weekend? I mean, aren't you concerned? I mean, you know, this is a big game. This is a big game for that boring guy, the one that got the $8 million raise that he didn't earn a damn thing. I mean, how do you really think they're going to do? Are you concerned? Are you wringing your hands? Are you guessing? Are you panting? Are you pacing the floors? I mean, you're playing yourself. You're playing with yourself, Bammer fans. How are we going to do? I guess you're as successful at a happy ending as you've ever been, if you've ever had one. You know, the challenge is not playing a day. I mean, you're going out there vanilla, and everybody's going to look like they're on the same page and they're on the same team because that's what it's supposed to look like. But, Bama friends, here's the challenge. When Texas kicks your ass, Georgia kicks your ass, and the coach actually has to start making some decisions and bench the quarterback that was on here yesterday, and you're going to start seeing the same results because we don't do running plays. You know, Paul, you brought up a real interesting question to that quarterback that hijacked the Alabama team last year after the fact. Well, what do you think about the offensive coordinator calling that play? I tell you what, go back to Milroe's own words. I don't practice running plays. I know how to run. That's what he said. Those are the words out of his mouth, the hijacker himself. But when it comes crunch time and you're playing somebody's kicking your teeth in, like what happened last year, and the coach has to start making some decisions and sorting people around, then the unhappy people, I want more money. I want more money. We don't run in practice. We're going to play these plays. Alabama's fixing to fall, slam the hill apart, Paul. I'm telling you, it's Humpty Dumpty teeter-tottering on the brick wall. And it's just about to fall. And you know what I've always said? Damn yoke everywhere. And one more thing, Paul. And when Alabama starts getting their ass whipped, and I told you I was going to bring the orchestra, I'm going to bring the piccolo player, and I'm going to bring him over there and put him right behind Legend. And when he pipes up on that piccolo and Legend opens his mouth, guess what? Legend's going to sound like a damn tuba. Have a good day.
Barry is up next. Hey, Barry.
Hello, Paul. We really enjoy your show up here in North Alabama.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I am doing great.
I'd like to make a comment about I-Man. You know, he used to be a good caller. Ever since the Auburn game, you know, he refers to the little feller. I think he's got a monkey on his back. And that little feller, he's up there riding on I-Man's shoulders, got his feet dangling, leading I-Man around. He can't get him off his back. And that little feller's hollering, 4th and 31, 4th and 31. Yeehaw, yeehaw. And he won't let go of him. And the thing about it is, he can't get no redemption because his team's not going to be able to play Nick Saban again. And what little hair he's got left, he's going to pull it all out. And he's on the show now telling you to shut up. And he has good days and bad days, you know. He can get redemption maybe later. But, Paul, you know, I hate to see him, you know, trying to tell you what to do and run your show. I appreciate you letting me on there and make my comment.
Well, thank you very, very much. Ian is up next in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Ian. Ian, you there?
Jan.
Yeah, go right ahead. Jan. You're on here. Yeah, you're there.
Okay. I-Man's an idiot. Why don't he worry about his own dadgum team and quit worrying about what us Bammers are going to do? We're going to be just fine. It may not look like, you know, who it was when we had Saban, but everybody's got You know, we got to crawl before we can walk again. We're going to be just fine. But he needs to worry about Auburn and try to get Auburn to win something. I just don't understand the way he is. I just don't understand his train of thought, worrying about us Bammers, as he call us. Yeah, we're fans. We're not fair weather fans. We are fans. And we're going to be fans with or without Nick Saban. I love Nick Saban to death. I felt like that I had had a funeral that week when he decided to leave. I hated it. I really did. But nothing lasts forever. So we're going to get on the train here, and we're going to work at being number one again. And we might not be this year, but you know what? We might be. And then I-Man's going to have to get over it. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. We head to the break. We still have about 45 minutes to go on a Friday afternoon, early evening. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back late on Friday. The week is about to end, and Johnny B. arrives.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call on this Kentucky basketball day. But,
yes.
Do you remember when, what was it, a week or so ago, when Legend had AJ on his show?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was the funniest thing. Legend told me, he said, I asked him, he said, they're thinking about some kind of a thing with some handcuffs. Do you know where we can get some? And he said, I got handcuffs. I got handcuffs. And Legend said when he showed up that day, he come walking in the studio, and he had whips and chokers and them chaps and had Todd's rope, and they was like, whoa, settle down, Ron Jeremy. We just needed some handcuffs. But I logged on to that pink cherry thing that Susie highly recommended, and as I was scrolling through, there's several different packages on there that a person can get, and the Brokeback Mountain line seems to be popular. They got a Rough Rider package, and I was looking under the reviews, and there was Todd from Shelby and AJ, and they gave it 5-star reviews, and I thought, this is crazy. And then I went on down, and I found Joey and Manna. They're listed on there as gold members. The Animal Adventure Tours are available at their place, and it's a different thing than it had a 5 upside down pineapple rating. I'm not sure what that means. Do you have any idea what that means?
No,
be?
I'm really not sure, but I appreciate you bringing it to my attention.
All right. Have a good evening. Enjoying the show.
Okay. Somehow there was a failure to communicate there. Burger is in West Virginia. Hey, Burger.
Hey, how are you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
So my whole thing is that I think Iowa women's basketball is so overhyped. Caitlin Clark's overhyped. In all reality, she gets half her points from, you know, the charity stripes. So why are we pushing this narrative that she's the game changer when in all reality she should have never been there?
Well, Berger, I don't think we're pushing it. I think it's real. The number of people who have watched it has shattered records, and you may not agree, but most people agree she is a transformational player.
But she's never won a chip.
Well, that is accurate. She's played twice for it, and she's done something that no other player has ever done to the women's game, and that has brought more people to watch that than to the men. I think that's pretty significant.
It might be significant, but that's because it's getting shoved down our throats.
Well, Berger, let me assure you that we still live in a country where nobody makes you watch something that you don't want to watch. So, unless an armed guard came to your house Sunday and stuck a bayonet in your face and said you have to watch it, I think you were able to find something else.
Well, I mean, I think that she shouldn't have been in the.
Well, you know, I think you're a total clown. Okay, so are we even?
Oh, thanks, Paul.
I mean, why would you say that about a player who has been as good as she is?
Why?
I could repeat the question.
It's not about her. It's not about her play. It's more so about how. Oh, let me go and.
Listen, maybe you're upset about her beating West Virginia. I don't know, but
more like her flopping.
Oh, okay, well, sorry. Maybe you can call Bob Huggins and see if he's available for a beer. I don't know. Jerry is up next in Kentucky.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you, sir?
I was doing pretty well until that call.
Hey, I tell you, it reminds me, the last time I called, and it's been a while, our friend Jim had just said you were no longer his heavenly brother, and I came on and sang, you ain't heavy, you are my brother. So hey, I just got a couple of points about the Mark Pope hire, and then a question for you in regards to Mitch. But, you know, it's been a interesting night for me. I mean, I at first was not happy. I didn't really think we would get Hurley unless he actually lost the championship game, because it'd be hard to pull somebody away if you have an opportunity to do a three-peat. I personally wasn't really a big fan of going after the Baylor coach, which didn't work out anyway. And I, like you, I think Pitino with probably Pope would have been a good scenario as an assistant, and then move your way in there. But today, I am mostly, you know, I think the last 5 years, for me, I was looking for somebody who could actually focus more on the X's and O's versus just rolling a ball out there and having the guys do things on their own versus being really taught and coached on schemes and defensive schemes and offensive schemes. And, it seems like we just saw the same old for the last 5 years, similar to what Billy Gillespie brought us with YMCA plays going on and off. Other than the recruiting is where I really felt, you know, we needed a high-profile coach coming back to Kentucky, but that didn't – the last 5 years, it really didn't get us a whole lot with what we had. But my question to you, too, after those statements is, you know, I think really Cal's downfall for me was when Mitch Barnhart gave him the lifetime contract, which to me kind of took the accountability away from Cal, where he almost felt entitled, didn't really feel like he had to change because all the burden was on us in the university to pay the $33 million if we ever did want to get rid of him. And he didn't really have to pony up anything if he wanted to leave. And I think that, to me, if I had a criticism of Mitch Barnhart, it would be that he took away the accountability from Cal, which I think really kind of led to a lot of his demise and the lack of coaching.
Jerry, I agree with you. And I understand the moment. He didn't want to lose him. He was going to probably go to UCLA. But you don't do that with anyone. It doesn't matter how much success you've had. You still have to, I mean, there are very few people, maybe Nick Saban would be the exception to the rule, that can prosper when you don't have to answer to your boss. And
right.
The difference was Saban actually understood the chain of command. He was very regimented. Cal didn't. Cal was used to being the show no matter where he was. And he got sloppy. He got lazy. And he
yes.
became more of a blowhard, which I think really did turn a lot of the hardcore UK fans off. And by the way, I want to say something about what you said about Scott Drew. I wondered about him really connecting with Kentucky people. He's a very low-key guy, and
yeah.
that's a high-profile job where you have to connect.
You're exactly right. You need, I think, a little bit more excitability coming from the coach when you come to Kentucky. You need, you know, and I think even Mark Pope's first couple of statements, he's already,
brought that. I can sit here without knowing anything about him other than watching him play. He'll walk into Rupp Arena, and he knows exactly what to say, and he will
right.
say it.
Right, exactly. So, I still go Cats, go Big Blue, and Paul, I appreciate everything you do on a daily basis.
Thank you very much. You know, I mean, I'm like every Kentucky fan. I'm feeling better about it. I mean, I was in shock. Somebody asked me about it yesterday, and I would have bet the building against it. I just thought there was no chance whatsoever. Anyway, we still have time. You want to get in? We have 30 minutes remaining here. Busy Friday night. We're open for business. Anything you'd like to talk about, you can do so. And the number is 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We are back, and Aaron is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, Paul. It's nice to be on the show first time. Enjoy
Thank you.
The show. And just want to talk about Mark Pope for just a second. That seems
okay.
to be a hot topic today. And, of course, being from Kentucky, I'm a big fan. I actually like the hire. The landscape of college basketball is changing. You know, it's not the same as it once was. And I think the one thing we can learn from this is that money can't buy everything. You know, Kentucky can back the Brinks truck up to Coach Hurley. They can say what they'd like to Coach Drew and several of the others, but things just aren't what they were. And what I mean by that is that, you know, a lot of guys up and coming are really taking their shots, and they're building their brand at the university that's giving them a shot. Case in point, Nate Oates, he came from Buffalo. That was his claim to fame until he showed what he could do at Alabama. Coach Hurley had never won a title, came from Rhode Island. His claim to fame until the last 2 years was nothing more than that. Of course, now he's won two championships. Hubert Davis never had a head coaching position before UNC. He was Roy Williams' assistant. John Shire, same thing, never had a head coaching position before Duke. He was Coach K's assistant. And three out of those four programs are blue bloods, and they're perfectly fine. And What I mean by all that is that Mark Pope is more like a Coach Hurley and Coach Oates out of the three. I mean, he took an abysmal Utah Valley State team, put them on the map, then went to BYU following Dave Rose and transitioned them successfully, I might add, to the Big 12. In fact, it's probably arguable that the Big 12 was the best conference in basketball this year, despite not having a team in the Final Four. And, you know, when you look at Coach Pope, I mean, they beat San Diego State when they were ranked 17th, NC State when they were ranked 10th, Iowa State when they were ranked 8th, Baylor 16th. They beat Kansas when they were 19th. And, you know, I think he's a pretty good hire. And as a Kentucky fan, you know, I don't expect him to come in and knock it out of the park, but I do think we'll be competitive. And I think he's got a great mind for the game. He's going to relate to the Kentucky people. I was 9 years old when he was on the 96 championship team playing for Rick Pitino. And I remember that, you know, like it was yesterday, played Syracuse and beat him. And he's one of us. He's going to care about the front of the jersey. Don't get me wrong. Cal brought in a lot of talent, a lot of guys in the NBA that have done great. But it's going to be nice to get back to a guy that really cares about the program, is really going to push, you know, I think in the future to win some national championships, compete for them at the very least. And I think he's up for that. You want a guy, in my opinion, that says yes when you ask and doesn't have to think about it. And that's what we got with Mark Pope. And so I think that the fan base really needs to rally behind him. I think several will. He may not have been your first choice, but he's a heck of a coach, and I think he's going to prove that.
Many thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Fred is in Memphis. So hello, Fred.
Hey, Paul. You've had a good week, haven't you?
It's been quite – it wasn't exactly what we predicted for the second week in April.
No, it wasn't. I didn't get the message on Mark Pope until a little earlier. My brother-in-law used to be over at Duke. He was on the staff over there as a teacher. So I just saw the announcement. Have you had an opportunity to put together anything in the way of your evaluation or opinion of Mark Pope?
Well, I think the most important thing to remember is that he's going to bring fans back that were gone under Cal. And I think there's going to be a rally around the Kentucky blue flag Sunday, and I think that is probably good. Now, whether he can make it this level, it really all depends on the players. And Cal couldn't win with these type of players, but maybe he can.
Right. Well, you'll see you won't see as much of what I call street ball. Street
right.
Ball's going to be going out. Mark Pope was an excellent player. You go back to that team, and with Shepard at the point guard and Mark Pope, they were very fundamentally sound. They played good, solid team basketball, and I think it's an excellent hire. Mark Pope, he's going to bring discipline. He's going to bring integrity. And the fans will welcome him with open arms. And
well, that program needs it right now.
Yes, 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 they do, Paul. And, you know, it's team basketball has kind of fallen by the wayside with the one-and-done and individual play. You get back to team basketball, and I think that's where Mark Pope, because that's the kind of team player he was, and that's the team that he played on in 96 when they won the national championship. So, you know, he's got that experience, too. He's experienced with the culture. He's experienced with environment. And I think he will stabilize recruiting. I think the Shepherd kid will stay. More than likely, the seven-footer, the tall white boy, will stay. So he's going to have a pretty good foundation. So I just thought I would throw in my 2 cents worth. After I got word from my brother-in-law. He always likes to call me what I think about the situation at Kentucky because he came over from Duke. So that's my 2 cents.
Well, Fred, thank you very, very much.
Feet.
Always good to hear from you. We go from Memphis to Pell City. AJ is next.
Hey, Paul. This is Joey, Paul. You know? hey, Joey, I told you why he was making that $32 an hour to weld your mouth shut. I done told you that. You're going to suck tomorrow at the 8-day game. But, Paul, let me ask you this. Look at the parallel that's going on. Seriously, you like to deal in facts. You remember when Nick Saban quit?
I do.
Does the Kentucky fan base not call in here and sound exactly like the optimism-filled Bama losers?
Does it not? I mean, are they not? I mean, we're getting a complete rendition of what went on in Tuscaloosa when DeBoering got hired with his Kentucky. They're just full of hope, Paul. My fingers are crossed. My eyes are crossed. My grandmother she ain't even taking a bath anymore because we're waiting on Kentucky to come out. I mean, who the hell is Mark Pope anyway, Paul? I mean, come on, guys. Y'all been a has-been for so damn long, it ain't even funny. I mean, the bottom line, you got Auburn, you got Alabama, you got Arkansas, you got South Carolina. I mean, you got teams that can beat you. So, Kentucky, sit down, take a number, because you seem like that. You're hoping you're that dark horse over there. What is it called? Ben Gay. Coming around the corner, Paul. He's coming around the corner. But he still loses the race. And that's what's going to happen. But I want to call out my own team right now, Paul, because I'm so pissed off at Hugh Freeze right now. It ain't even funny.
Why?
Because this A-Day game this week was absolute pathetic last Saturday. We slotted the defense 27 points, and we had to kick 7 field goals. We got 1 freaking touchdown, 7 field goals, and the boy is an ace. Oh, he's an ace in the hole. Little Grom or whatever, I forget his name, McGow. Anyway, he kicks a 58-yard field goal to beat our own team. I mean, come on. If you think Hugh Freeze, I'm going to tell you something. AJ Compels is going to tell you this, Hugh Freeze, on national television. If you think I'm going to give you 4 or 5 years to win, you're crazy. You chose to keep Peyton Thorne, so we keep that Thorne in our side. I mean, come on, dude. You're getting paid $7, 8, 9 million a year, Hugh Freeze. You better get your crap together, and you better get it together fast, and you better figure it out. And Johnny B, you ain't got a little.
Hey, AJ, whatever happened? What about the freeze warning?
Oh, I'm. The freeze warning is not in effect. I mean, Jesus, Paul. It was 28-27 with a 58-yard field goal at the end of the A-Day game. I mean, so I'm not fixing to be some crazy idiot biased Auburn fan. I want to win, and I expect to win quickly, just like everybody else. I mean, Alabama fan base has no problem with expectations. Kentucky obviously is looking for expectations, but I can tell you this, Hugh Freeze, you better get your ass in gear, and you better do it quick. Because AJ's going to come down there and take over. War damn eagle and war damn eagle.
Wow, that was exciting. Scott is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Paul, first-time caller. I kind of feel sorry for AJ now.
Well, I do, too. He's now turning on his own coach.
Seems miserable.
Over a scrimmage that nobody cared about.
You know what? Maybe he's feeling a little bit of what us UK fans felt for the last 5 years.
Must be.
I don't know. I'm extremely excited about this Mark Pope hire, though. I'll tell you that. I just feel like, I'm one of those UK fans that last night was pulling what little bit of hair I had out. Me and my brother was going at it. Both of us falling apart. We thought it was a horrible hire. But the old saying, sleep on it and see what you think about it in the morning, actually hold some water, because after I did, I woke up, I started watching some BYU highlights. I started watching how they moved the ball. I started watching how they shot the ball and played defense, and how Pope was all over the sidelines really being active and not standing there stomping his right foot and clapping his hands together and pointing everywhere like another guy I know. It just seems like the right fit at the right time. It might not be. You know, it might blow up in our face, and we might be hiring somebody else in 3 years. But if we do, we've been here before. So one thing I don't agree with is Arkansas fans saying we're not a blue blood anymore. I believe once a blue blood, always a blue blood.
Well, so, hey, thank you very much for the call. We are heading to a break. We still have a couple of minutes remaining for the week on this Friday night. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Final few minutes of the week. JD is up next in Detroit. Hello, JD.
How you doing, sir?
We're doing great.
I just got a question about some of the comments that some of the callers are making, and a comment that you made that Mark Pope is going to bring fans back that left. Which fans are you talking about?
I'm talking about fans who appreciate the greatness of Kentucky tradition.
So they left? It was no Kentucky tradition?
I mean, we just got through hearing a guy who said he couldn't watch the next season after Cal got lost. I mean, listen, I'm trying to say what the upside of the hire is. What are your thoughts?
I'm from Michigan, so I don't care much less about Kentucky. I like John Calipari, though, and I don't understand why the caller called it street ball. I'm trying to figure out why is it street ball.
Well, Jake, the reason why fans have tuned out on Calipari is just is pretty obvious. It doesn't matter whether you're in Detroit or Kalamazoo. He simply became a terrible coach in the playoffs.
Well,
that's what it's all about. It's not about how many guys he puts in the NBA. It's about maybe trying to win an NCAA tournament game.
Well, I understand the one and done situation that you're speaking of, but my thing is, I don't think we should make it seem like Calipari wasn't a good coach in Kentucky. Just say it was his time to go.
That's fair.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.